nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
So we'll move to the next presentation here. It is my great pleasure to introduce Dr. Arbinder Mitra. The first time I met him was in Delhi in November 2006. And at that time, I also met his colleague, Dr. Smriti Trikau, who is with us today, certainly. We'd like to welcome them, both of them, to Purdue University. Dr. Mitra joined the Indian Department of Atomic Energy in 1987. He carried out his PhD work jointly with MIT, and then he joined the Department of Ocean Development to initiate the Indian Antarctic Program. In 2001, Dr. Mitra became the director in the International Division of the Department of Science and Technology, Government of India. And in 2004, Dr. Mitra became the first executive director of the Binational Indo-US Science and Technology Forum to foster cooperation between United States and India. So I'd like to ask him to please come here and please join me in welcoming him. Thank you.
Thank you, Pankaj. A very good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here today. What I'm going to do in this 15, 20 minutes is to give you an overall perspective of the bilateral cooperation between U.S. And India in science and technology, and also tell you about the opportunities that are available to take this cooperation forward. I think this is the slide which will reflect a long story of the historical cooperation between U.S. and India in the various areas of science and technology right from 50s, when the Green Revolution was ushered in India through the PL480 grant. And of course, you heard of the establishment of IIT through the consortia of universities from U.S. and so on and so forth. In 70s, in fact, when I was still a kid, I remember for the first time the word IT came. And we had the historical NASA ISRO site experiment, which took television to the nook and corner of India. And since then, of course, the two governments have been actively working to promote this relationship. But I feel the relationship between U.S. and India has been more on an individual-to-individual basis scientific connections rather than very large project fundings actually being supported by the federal governments. But we had the U.S.-India funds, which had these Gandhi-Reagan Science and Technology Initiative, which died off at the end of 80s. Then we had a series of new programs that came into being at the turn of the millennium, some of which I've highlighted in green and are currently in bold. But I would be largely talking about the Indo-US Science and Technology Forum, which was established in 2001 when President Clinton was visiting India. But just to give you a small flavor of the U.S.-India relationship, at the present moment of time, there are 84,573 Indian students in the United States. We surpassed the Chinese number last year, contributing about $3 billion to the U.S. economy. There are 150 American companies which have opened their R&D bases in India. And as Professor Rao alluded, the General Motors employs 3,700 scientists and technologists at their lab in Bangalore. There are about 102 NIH projects worth $32 million happening or being executed in India. As far as India is concerned, a phenomenal change. Over the last 2 years, we had an average growth of about 35% in our R&D budget fundings. I think much of the credit would go to Professor Rao. We have, as he told, 7 more new IITs coming up, 5 new institutes of science called ICERs, which have been established. 14 central universities or federally funded universities are going to be set up. The overall human resources development budget, or what we call the budget or the ministry which looks after education, has increased in gross terms from 7% to 17% in the last financial year. So we see a phenomenal growth, a spurt in science and technology, and I feel this is the right time when the two nations should really come together to create a win-win situation. And in fact, it is very much reflected in the strategic partnership which has dawned by the two polity to come across. And you would see that science and technology would indeed be the pillarstone or cornerstone in this relationship, covering the entire span of energy to health sciences, looking into a new initiative in agriculture where $100 million have been pledged by two countries, global safety and security, space cooperation. In fact, India is launching its moon mission in this year, and we'll have two payloads from US on that moon mission. So these are the various spectrum of areas that we would be shortly engaging through various mechanisms. And then also in 2005, I was a witness. In fact, I was a person who worked in my previous professional association in the Department of Science and Technology on this S&T agreement, which was signed in 2005 by Minister Sibal and Secretary Rice. And this has actually opened a new sort of a paradigm in promoting public-private partnership. The thorn in the bush there was the intellectual property rights sharing mechanism, which has been now spelled out through an annexure in this agreement. Well, let me talk about the Indo-US Science and Technology Forum. This is a unique organization which got set up at the turn of the century, as I told you. It is an organization which has been set up by the two governments, but for once I always feel that the two governments were wise enough to keep it outside the government. In other words, it has been established as an autonomous, not-for-profit society. It's an equal partnership mechanism. The US government has created an endowment, and the interest it earns every year is matched by the government of India through the Department of Science and Technology, which provides the core funding to the activities of the forum. The biggest strength of the forum is that it can work across disciplines and institutions. So we are able to work with federal agencies, with academia, with NGOs, across disciplines, both in US as well as in India. We have a governing board, and you would find it's a mix of people both from academia and industry from both the sides that gives an oversight to the forum and gives it the tremendous flexibility and nimbleness to work across. You know, we are the biggest strength which the Indo-US Science and Technology Forum is that it is really clubbed down or bogged down through a large number of bureaucratic entangles, so to speak. So that makes us really to respond to the needs of the scientific community in a very shortest possible time. And what does the forum actually do? A forum is not a national funding agency, so to speak. We do not have the type of money or mandate to promote or to support large projects. But what we do essentially is to catalyze and seed activities, bring the scientific communities of the two sides on a common platform through a series of activities that we support, which happen both in US and India. And while doing so, we keep a couple of things in mind. One is to engage the young minds together. Most of our programs, we would like to see how we can nurture and contact and develop contacts between the young generation of scientists between the two countries, because we feel if we invest in them and bring them together at a young age, the mutual relationship and trust develops and the relationship continues over a long period of time. The other thing that we always keep in is to encourage the public-private partnership mechanism, because we believe that that is something which India needs to learn the way it has been in US to foster the elements of innovation and enterprise. Well, I'll briefly touch upon the program portfolio that we support. We have so far supported more than 120 bilateral workshops, Indo-US workshops to be more specific, and these workshops could be held either in US or in India. And typically a workshop, there is a joint submission by the PIs, both from US as well as in India, electronic submission of a proposal. And once it gets funded, we can support up to about a dozen international travels and about 30 to 40 domestic travel, depending upon where the event is. And we cover the entire cost of a bilateral workshop. We have several network centers, which I'll come across as I come down to. We have call for proposals thrice a year, and you would see the turnaround period is 4 months. So I haven't seen any bilateral body, you know, which does three times award cycle in a year in the very quick fashion that we do. All the proposals are submitted electronically. They get reviewed both in US and India using a common review format. And on the basis of joint reviews, we take a decision towards funding. The bilateral, besides that, we have a set of flagship programs, which I will touch upon as I go down on my presentation. If you look at the large number of workshops that we have supported over the last 4 years or so, it covers almost the entire spectrum of science and technology. Of course, engineering has taken the biggest chunk of the funding the medical and life sciences, if you put together, it takes the biggest chunk, followed by engineering, and almost an equal distribution in computer sciences, earth sciences, physical and chemical sciences. You would be amazed to know that almost 72% of our workshop, 65% to 72%, in fact, is the revised figure now, has led into some long-term interaction that has spawned off from this meeting. So in other words, what I meant to say is the strong platform that we have provided in bringing the scientific communities together have led into sustainable relationships to be developed in terms of joint projects, follow-ons, MOUs, so on and so forth, student exchange and training programs. We also did a lot of these workshops in partnership with industries, as you would see, and many of these workshops that we supported led into industry funding flowing into the academia. And some of them, which I have highlighted, right from Boeing to Microsoft to General Motors, we have been working with most of the U.S. companies which have an R&D presence in India. Well, the other new program that we are supporting now in a big way is what we call the Indo-US Joint Centers. These are virtual network centers where we bring together on a 2+2 partnership basis. That is, we minimum need to have two partners from either country, two institutions as partners from either country, to give us a joint proposal for a proposal for a joint center. And the two types of joint centers that we support are the knowledge networked R&D centers, where the academia and the laboratories get connected. The other is a public-private network center, where an industry is necessarily a partner. And the concept behind here is of a joint center is where the stakeholders themselves come with the money required to support the project at their end, for whatever it is, the financial support for the infrastructure, salaries, et cetera, come from the stakeholders. What we do is actually help them to connect together through mobility of scientists between US to India and India to US in these joint centers. And these scientists could be a working professor or a student, irrespective, and the flow is always reciprocal. We find that this is a very good way by which we can leverage the already existing national strength on both sides and bring together through, you know, what we call, in other words, a marriage making, bring together performing groups that are working in a common area so that they can complement each other's strength to address a problem in a more holistic manner. And typically, a joint center is funded for a period of 2 years, and I have listed some of these joint centers that of late we have supported, and you would see how we have been able to link up a diverse set of institutions, largely universities in US and academia in India through these joint centers covering some of the most topical areas of research. Covering right from nano aerosol science and technology to correlated electrons and materials. A very recently supported one is a joint center on climate change, where we again have been able to bring three US institutions and two national institutions in India together. The last one is the joint center on tissue engineering, where Georgia Institute of Technology and University of Washington with two leading medical schools in India. We also have a set of public-private network center where industry is typically a partner. Again, you would see Colorado University, State University, linked with two national labs in Pune, along with an industry partner from Pune. A center on microwave processing, we just got awarded during our last call, where they're looking at new technologies to process materials using microwave. Center on Ecoinformatics, a joint center on nanostructured materials through, again, industry-academia partnership. Of late, we have also started supporting in a slightly bigger fashion what we call the Indo-US Centers of Research Excellence. The last one, and the first one, in fact, that we have supported is the Center on Fabrionics, which is actually an advanced manufacturing center looking into the next generation of manufacturing technologies, where a larger chunk of funding to the order of about $1.5 million have been put to allow this free exchange of students, postdoctoral fellows, visiting faculty for over a period of 3 years to work on some of the subject areas that I have shown in the overview. We do support a whole lot of training programs. Typically, these are for mentoring students and for young faculty, and they're held either in US and or in India, you know, and could be about 10 days to about 14 days or 2 weeks in duration. Again, typically, the course is conducted by faculties from both the countries, and the trainees are largely the students or the young faculty from both the countries. We have also started off late exchange program. There's been a very strong interest of US universities to engage with India now, and we are trying to see how we can really help to sort of mitigate this disbalance of, you know, mobility of students from India to US, and have some of the US students also get exposed with to Indian laboratories. So we have started one with MIT, where at this point of time a dozen undergrads from MIT are spending about a semester a summer interns in India. We have started a student visitation program with American Physical Society. We have started a visiting professorship also with the American Physical Society, one on microbiology. I'm about to visit the University of Wisconsin and Madison in this trip, where we are starting a new program called the Khurana Exchange Program, named after Hargovind Khurana, who got his Nobel Prize working at Wisconsin. This will also entail an exchange of students and faculty, project-based activity. And of late, in the last call, we just approved an exchange program between UC Berkeley and IIT Kharagpur on focus areas on biofuel and health sciences. So these are some of the programs that we have started developing and working with universities in US, with the hope that we are able to link them up with Indian academia, because at many time we feel that there is no mechanism as such available by which they can easily work with the Indian institutions, where the forum is the right platform that can really help to bridge the two sides together. We have also launched the Indo-US Research Fellowship. So this was just launched last year. And this is a fully funded fellowship where faculties below the age of 40 from India can spend up to 1 year in any of the institutions in the United States, fully funded through the Indo-US Science and Technology Forum. The funding actually comes from the Indian Department of Science and Technology. During our last call, we had about 150-odd applications. We selected 16 fellows, and I'm glad to inform you that one of them is getting placed here in Purdue University. So this is a unique mechanism or way by which you can have a long-term interaction with a young faculty from India who can come and spend up to a year. And we are in the process of increasing these number of these fellowships. I hope in the coming year or so we'll be getting more funding from DST to increase the numbers, depending upon what the response is. So this is another mechanism which I feel the universities like Purdue can take advantage of, and we are looking at if we could develop or we could have a certain number of fellowships dedicated to a university. If we find that the university in turn is adding value to these fellowships, we would be most open and happy to see if we could develop a specific fellowship program for a specific university. Another unique feature that we have been funding is the flagship event called the Frontiers of Science and Frontiers of Engineering, which I think most of you are aware. We are partnering with the U.S. National Academies, where we bring the best and brightest below the age of 45 between of the two countries, who interact over a period of 3 days across disciplines. The concept here is this leads into cross-fertilization of ideas and builds relationship between disparate groups. So U.S. has been doing this with Germany, Japan, and China, and we started this with US in 2005. So 1 year we have the frontiers of science, the other year we have the frontiers of engineering, and the venue also alternates between US and India. We just had the last frontiers of engineering, which got over in Rhine earlier this year, and next year we are having the frontiers of science in India. But what we have been able to do is add a new element to that, and that is we provide seed grants to the three best proposals that come after the frontiers even. And these seed grants go up to about $50,000, and that allows this connectivity to be maintained between the groups that submit these proposals. I think this is a very important slide in which I would like to show how the Indo-US S&T Forum has been really able to seed some major national activities involving the national players on both sides. These are some of the events that we supported. As I just talked about the workshop, the first conference in space science in 2005, which we supported, was really, thawed the Indo-US relationship in space cooperation, and a whole gamut of MOUs have been signed, and some of which, as I talked to you, is now really taking fruition. A big program which India is launching worth $50 million is the Indoflux program, where there'll be a network of towers all over India that would measure the trace gases that are ultimately responsible or would be able to address the global change and the effect on climate. And this, the whole road mapping of this Indoflux was done through initiative that was funded by the forum. We are launching a new Institute of Health Science and Technology in India in partnership with MIT and Harvard. The entire road mapping and the faculty development would take place through joint collaboration between MIT and the Department of Biotechnology, which is setting up this center. Stanford India Biodesign Program, 5 fellowships for 2 years, where Indian students would be placed in Stanford and in IIT Delhi and All India Institute of Medical Sciences to develop and innovate biomedical devices during the period of their fellowship. And several of them, the airborne cyclone tracking system, another major program being launched by India, where we'll have aircraft that will go into the eye of the storm and give the real-time prediction of the cyclone, which hits the east coast of India. So it's a major program where US is a partner. In 2008, we'll have the first experimental aircraft with constant inputs from NCAR and NOAA. And some of the partnership which US government launched, the International Partnership in Hydrogen Economy and Blue Sky Regional Carbon Sequestration Program, we helped in India to become a partner in this. And the last one is the International Linear Collider Program, where there's a strong cooperation between US DOE and the Department of Atomic Energy and Department of Science and Technology. So all these initiatives which I spoke about are major initiatives that we have been able to catalyze or seed by bringing the scientific communities together through our funding mechanisms. We are working very closely with industry. We have several entrepreneurship programs that we have started, business plan competitions, one with Intel that brings these people finally to the University of California, the Haas School of Business. With HP India, what we call the HP Innovate program, where the young engineering graduates, outstanding ones with creative ideas, get awarded, and then they get linked up with the Palo Alto lab here in California. We just launched the IBM IUSSTA Visiting Fellowship in Nanotechnology, 2 fellowships every year. They will be placed at the Watson Lab in New York for up to a period of 6 months, a very prestigious fellowship. This is, again, open for young faculty, and it covers a very good salary of around $12,000 a month. And of course, with Agilent, we have started a Clean Air Challenge program. So finally, this is my last slide, where I just wanted to recapitulate the whole thing and just tell you in brief what exactly we are doing and how we can really offer our program in order to have more engagements with universities like Purdue, especially what my focus during this visit to US is to really expand the American University India Connect program through these internship fellowships and guest researchers program. We are really open to discuss these with you and see how best we can build these programs on a mutually acceptable fashion, on a cost-sharing basis, by which we can connect you with the Indian academia and Indian industries at large. And also look at, you know, to develop some of the Indo-US research centers of excellence. You know, these joint network center where groups from Purdue University could work with several academic institutions in India across disciplines to establish these joint centers. And finally, we are launching, or we are working with the American Society for Engineering Education on a new collaboration called the Indo-US Collaboration on Engineering Education. I am invited in the ASWE annual meeting in Pittsburgh next week, where we plan to sign this collaboration, where we will have faculty coming in from US universities to give lecture series and lecture courses in India. And we are targeting at the second tier and three tier engineering colleges in India to benefit out of this, because we feel this is how it would help in bringing these engineering colleges at par or at a higher level. And there's a lot of interest from the private industries in US industries and Indian industries as well to partner in this collaboration. So I think these are some of the opportunities that are there, which can be used by the community here in order to interface with us. We operate out from the Fulbright House. This is where the United States Education Foundation in India is located in New Delhi, a very historical house where Pandit Nehru in 1952 actually signed the United States Education Foundation Fulbright Fellowship relationship. And since then, this is a very strong program that's been happening from there. And my outreach office here is in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., and Michael Cheatham looks after the forum activities here in India. So we are a young institution, a very dynamic institution, not bounded by boundary conditions, so to speak. So we are very much open to interact with you and see how we best can develop programs that is going to create a win-win situation for the two countries. Thank you for your attention.